And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. We have an amazing show in store for you because we have Gaspard Louis here. He is a dancer, and I don't want to ruin your story, so why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Hi, my name is Gaspard Louis, and I guess I can start by telling you where I was born and raised. Is
Absolutely.
That correct? Absolutely. Okay, I was born and raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and at the age of 13, I moved to the United States with my mom. Actually, my mother was living in the U.S. prior, and then she sent for me and my other brother, older brother. So we both, at the age of 13, and he was about maybe 15, got on a plane and head for New York. And
I'm sorry, that just must have been a wild experience.
Well, it was. It was. In fact, I totally was kind of like when I got to New York for the first time and I kept looking. I couldn't stop looking up because all the buildings were so much higher than those homes in Haiti. So it was quite a treat for me.
Okay, so right now, I know you have a performance. You're affiliated with Duke University, and we're going to talk about the performances coming up a little bit later in the show. But my curiosity right now is around what experiences you had and some of the cultural differences you experienced as a teenager moving from Haiti to New Jersey, New York area. I would think there would be a lot of differences and maybe some similarities.
But it helps with the fact that I came to this country at such a young age. But still, the culture shock was still prominent. I didn't speak a word of English when I first came here. And I learned most of my English by watching Sesame Street.
Okay.
He-Man.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. That's how a lot of kids learn their English, and it would make sense that that's how you would, too.
Right. And also, there were a lot of Haitian kids, Haitian American kids who grew up here, who spoke Creole, but not very well because they were born and raised here, but their parents are from Haiti, but they understood Creole as well. And I was able to practice my English with them. So in exchange, I would practice, they would practice their Creole and I would practice my English. So that helped a little bit. And
I just have to ask, did they teach you good words or did they teach you street words?
Well, as in every language, the first word you know is always the bad ones. Right. And that's, you know, that's cool. If you learn the good ones, you're not cool. You have to learn the bad ones.
You would need to have, you know, a full understanding of all the words within the language.
Right. But I was a little bit more conservative than my brother. I would always want to practice the good words, where my brother always wanted to say the bad words.
And maybe the difference between a 15 and 13 year old too.
Yes.
So when you came in the schools, then did they put you into the middle school scene right away?
Well, when we came in, they tested us.
Yep.
And before they, and then when I got tested, I tested way above average, so I didn't have to go to middle school, so they put me straight into high school level.
Welcome to the U.S.
Yes, indeed. And imagine this 13-year-old kid, absolutely no English whatsoever.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a nightmare for me at first.
I bet it was.
Yeah, especially in my English class. The only subject that I was really felt comfortable was my math class. Because you didn't need to speak language, too, because it's in
Universal. It's interesting. Math is, and I know this from working in the schools, math is a universal language that even if you don't understand the words, if you can understand the numbers, you have some means of communicating almost.
Exactly. Then with my other classes, like English class, I had to memorize everything.
Okay. So it was sheer memorization.
Yes.
Route memory for language.
Yes. That was an easy thing for me to do because in Haiti, I mean, the kids, normally, it's normal for kids to memorize like a chapter or two chapters. Every day when you go home, you have to remember that and then memorize it. And just when you get to school the next day, you have to be able to recite everything. So I don't know if they still do that now, but that was the case when I was growing up there.
You'd have to memorize chapters of a book and come back the next day and recite them?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He says so casually. Well, of course. All right. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the education system in Haiti. It sounds slightly different than what we've got going on here.
Well, it's gearing towards the French system more. Okay. But unfortunately, because I left there at such a young age, I would probably not be the correct person, the best advocate to speak about the
13,
education system.
You've had a lot of years of education at 13.
I did. But at the same token, I don't know if... I just remember some of the stuff that we were doing in school. There was always, every Friday, I would remember the boys and the girls would be separated, and then we would compete with each other in different subject matters, whether it's math or grammar or some, you know,
boys against girls.
Boys against girls.
Okay.
Which was,
did the girls trounce you guys, or you know?
Not really. No.
He says with a smile.
No, I remember it was very competitive, but there was one girl that actually with the girls team that was really good. She was really good. She was good with math, and you know, we supposedly that the math was supposed to be for the boys, which we were really good at. Mm-hmm. But this girl was fantastic with math, though. She gave us a run for our money.
Well, great. Okay, so then you came here and you went through you moved to New Jersey.
Well, when I first moved here, it was in New York, and my mom was living in New York at the time.
Okay.
And in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So we spent 2 weeks in Brooklyn, and I remember where we were in the Flatbush area, which was pretty scary. I mean, it was such a culture shock for me. And, you know, mind you, the only thing that I knew about America was what I saw on TV.
Okay.
In Haiti.
So. Now, did you grow up in the era of Dallas, or were you like, what did you think America was going to be?
I did. I watched Dallas a lot.
And, it's like the international thing people think.
Yeah. The Love Boat, I remember watching. And what else? Yeah.
Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels.
Yes. Beautiful women running around.
That's what I expect America to be. So not when I got to Brooklyn, I'm like, whoa, there's snow all over the place. It was freezing.
Did snow scare you when you first saw it? Or what were you expecting it?
I was fascinated by snow. I mean, this was my first time seeing snow firsthand. I mean, the only time I saw snow was when I go to my freezer at home. I open the refrigerator, you go to the freezer. There's my snow. But to be able to see it out in the open like this was quite fascinating. I just remember playing in it for hours and hours until my mom said, get inside the house. Yeah. So that was fun. And then we had to move to New Jersey because she felt that the school system in the Flatbush area was not good enough. And it was pretty... I don't want to use the term bad, but it was pretty challenging for us who really didn't speak any English, didn't really understand the culture, and at that time, and there was this animosity towards the Haitians or the Jamaicans or the Chinese or any foreign students who didn't speak any English. I mean, we'd have a hard time in the area where I was.
You're discriminated against. Yeah.
So she decided that maybe we would be better off in New Jersey, where it was a little bit quieter and more in the suburb. And I had an aunt who lived in New Jersey, so she decided to send us there to live with my aunt in New Jersey.
Did you live right across from the city, or did you live like in the rural area of Jersey?
Well, she lived in Newark at first.
Okay.
So that's pretty much right across the water from half hour away from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Irvington. And so when I ended up going to college, so I moved to Montclair, New Jersey, which was more of a suburb area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to hear more about how you ended up in college and all that, and then we're going to get to where you are now, because this is just fascinating.
All right.
You are listening to Kristen Heemstra, and this is the Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Gaspar Louis, and we are going to be talking about the dance show that's coming up. But before we get there, we're really leading up to talking about his story and how you came to the United States from Haiti. And so we were just leaving off. I want to hear about how you went from high school in New Jersey to college. And then I want to hear about your interest in dance.
All right. So high school. So I got tested and I did formidable and I got put into ninth grade, I believe.
At 13.
At 13. Was it 10th? I think it might have been 10th grade. I don't remember. But I remember they put me in the same grade as my older brother.
Oh, the shame. Oh, my gosh. That poor guy.
He didn't do too well in the test. So for some reason.
It's even worse.
But he didn't let me know. I found out later. I'm like, it looks like we're studying the same subject. What's that all about? So finally, I caught up. And then he actually was in the same class with me, my science class, earth science, I remember it to be. And in that class, every year, the teacher take out the best students to become the teacher.
Oh, cool. And I love that teaching technique.
Yes, yeah. So the best students would come up and teach the class. Mm-hmm. Imagine me barely spoke any English. And I'm in a class room full of American kids and maybe two or three other Haitians with my brother and one of them as well. And so the day when we had to do the student teaching, the teacher walked in, everybody was kind of nervous. And I in particular was very nervous because I knew I had straight A's in that class and I knew he was going to call on me. Then sure enough, he walked in and goes, "Hey, guess what today is?" Everybody said, "It's student teaching day, and guess who we're going to choose?" Everybody, I was sitting in a corner, and then all heads just turned towards you. I'm like, "Oh, no, not me." So sure enough, I couldn't escape that. So, but he was pretty easy on me because he knew that my English was very limited. So I went in and then asked the students a few questions. So, of course, I quiz my brother as well. Because he was just mean to me the night before.
Yeah. Right. Wow, the publicly calling him out in front of everybody.
But I didn't embarrass him too bad because I asked him a few questions that I knew he knew.
Well, that was actually very kind. That's some brotherly love right there.
Yes, yes.
I'll call on you when I know you know the answer.
Right. But towards the end, I mean, I was closer to all the other foreign students who didn't speak any English because obviously it was pretty tough for me and all the other foreign students who were at that school. And so things got easier when I got to college, actually. My English got slightly better. Mm-hmm. And even now I'm still, you know, trying to learn English. So
am I. Just saying.
And when I got to college, so it was a life-changing experience for me because, mind you, I growing up in Haiti, it was expected of you to be either doctor, lawyer, engineer, or businessman. These were the
four choices you had?
Four choices I had.
Okay. Back in the early days with women, it was like a nurse or a teacher or a secretary. Those were, of course, you could always be a stay-at-home mother, but yeah, it does limit your perspective when those paths are laid out for you already.
Right. And I remember as a kid, I loved to watch martial arts film.
Were you a Bruce Lee fan?
I was a big Bruce Lee fan. Bruce Lee was my idol. So when I got to college, I realized...
Did you and your brother fight Bruce Lee style?
Me and my younger brother. Okay. My older brother, for some reason, he had other friends who was much older.
Okay.
And so I was more like with my younger brother. I'm only 2 years older than him, but we're clique. Okay. And so we used to go out and watch karate movies a lot and then try to imitate what we saw.
Of course you did. Stand still.
Yeah, right.
I have a new chop for you.
Oh, my. It's just like, it's so much fun. But now my youngest brother, he is now a Jehovah's Witness. Completely turn around. Yeah. And
This is going to show my ignorance, so I'll admit I'm ignorant on this. Do Jehovah's Witnesses dance at all? Or are
they not at all.
Okay.
They don't even celebrate birthdays.
I know they don't celebrate birthdays because that was actually, they don't celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving.
No.
And so after Thanksgiving, when I was little, it got kind of boring, and I would always go find the Jehovah's Witnesses in the neighborhood to play with. I do know that.
Well, we were very close. Well, mind you, when I came to this country, it was me and my older brother. My youngest brother had to stay back.
Ooh, that must have been really hard.
I think there was a typo in his birth certificate, so they wouldn't allow him to leave until we had fixed it, and it took years later before he came and joined us.
Oh, my gosh.
And at that point, there was all these things that was going on in Haiti, and that was during the Duvalier's regime. There was the coup d'etat when Duvalier was...
Oh, my gosh. That must have been so scary.
Yeah. So I'm glad he found something to keep him occupied because, you know...
I get that.
Yeah. That way, I mean, I could imagine in the midst of looking for something out there, he would probably get into trouble. So I'm glad he found that religion.
It would have been a safe way for him to connect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe when he came to this country, then we would reconnect the way we were when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it wasn't to be because he got so entrenched into the Jehovah's Witness. And so our... way of fun was no longer the same, and we took different path. And well, we're still close, but we not as close as we once were.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Is his okay? So I want to hear about how you got from the high school. So you started in college. College really opened your mind. It blew your mind. It told you that you could be something besides one of the four expected professions. Mm-hmm. What happened when you got there?
Well, when I got to college, I did major in business.
Of course.
And
which is a smart major.
Yes. Yes, you can't go wrong with business.
Right.
And then I joined the martial art club at Montclair State University, and I became the
Bruce Lee moves, yeah.
Exactly. And now, while I was there, there was a young lady at the school who was a dance major, and she was also an RA, but I lived on campus as well.
Okay.
And she was doing an RA project and came to the martial arts club for asking us to do a self-defense class.
Okay.
For the students in the dorm.
Yeah.
And she was nice, at the end of the demonstration, she came to me and said, well, I am doing my thesis, and I'm looking for a male dancer. And given your martial arts skills, you move quite well. Would it be possible for you to be a part of it?
Yeah.
And I looked at her. I'm like, you must be out of your mind.
It's like asking a hockey player to become a figure skater.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a movie. What was that movie again? There was a movie.
There was a movie exactly like that. Yeah. And that's what made me think of it. It's like, are you kidding?
I'm like, you are insane. But, you know, given that she was very nice, and I kind of taken a liking to her, and I said, man, I don't know.
It's women that always stretch men out of their comfort zones, I tell you.
That was very true in that case. And I looked at my friend next to me. I said, hey, if you do it, I'll do it. And he goes, okay, I'll do it. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it. But he tricked me.
Oh, no.
The next day, he came back and says, I don't want to do it. That's why I'm like, oh, man, you gave your word. You can't take it back.
He totally set me up.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I didn't want to. I said I would do it.
Any of your word.
So I did do it. And surprisingly, I ended up liking it. And she introduced me to the chair of the dance department, Montclair. And she said, Gaspar, I'm going to make you a star. I'm like, really? I've always wanted to be an actor.
I knew it was in me.
Yeah. Right? Because I was telling you earlier.
I want to live in Dallas. Right? Let me just get that straight.
Exactly.
Got a big mansion. Me and JR, we're going to be hanging out.
Right?
Now.
No, I always thought of when I used to watch the Bruce Lee's movie, and that I would say, I wish I could do that and be in movies and be the martial art. And I'm like, oh, well.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Right.
And he said, well, well, you have to take some dance classes, because I had never taken any dance classes in my life until I got to college. And I said, okay, well, I'll be a dance minor. I can't. I don't want to be a dance major because, you know, I could hear the echo of my mom's voice. I'm like, business, business, business. You know? And so what I did, I first minor in it.
Okay.
So I went and took a class for the audition just to help prepare myself. And I had no idea where to go to take a dance class. And then so it directed me into the right direction. When I got there, day one, got my tights and everything, I'm thinking I'm going to encounter people my age. I was in a class with a bunch of 9-year-olds.
Oh, my. All right, we're going to take a break because I do want to hear about this. This is fabulous. We'll be right back. You are listening to Kristen Hiemstra and Gaspar Louis, The Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Hiemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Hiemstra with the Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Gaspar Louis, and we just learned that he took his first dance class. Now, this guy is a professional dancer. He took his first dance class in college, and he walked into a room with 9-year-olds. All right, so tell us what happened. There you are, a bunch of little white girls in tutus. I mean, that's what I'm
thinking. Well, I walked into this dance class, ballet, and then I'm thinking, okay, there'll be people my age. And then looking around, a bunch of 9-year-olds, 12-year-olds looking at me, giggling at me, this giant standing next to them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Me in this class? So I took my first dance ballet class, do my plie, tombé, pas de bourrée. I'm like, what is that? I mean, this is terms that I understood because the French told me pas de bourrée. But in a dance context, I didn't know what it meant. So
those are, see, I only know them in a dance context. What do they mean outside a dance
context? Well, tombé is to fall.
Okay.
So if you tell me to tombé, I would fall. I wouldn't necessarily do the actual dance move that is expected when you somebody say tombé and say pas de bourrée, and you say pas de chat, which is the step of the cat. I was just like, what do you mean do the step of the cat? What the heck is that?
Looking around for a cat.
Right, exactly.
This is a different dance than I ever thought of.
So that was my first experience. And when I left, it was quite an interesting experience. And the girls were very nice. They were very nice towards me. And some of them would even take my hand to go across the floor because I couldn't remember the combination. It was very, my brain didn't quite work that way.
You could memorize chapters of Earth Science and Bruce Lee moves.
Right, right.
Okay.
But put me in a class with a bunch of 9-year-olds, forget about
it. Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, so, yes.
And, you know, then I had to come back because why? I was determined. Plus, I paid my dues. I didn't want to leave without getting my money's worth.
That's right. Absolutely.
I said, okay, that was a disastrous first day, but I pay for it. I'm going to finish it. Then after the month is over.
I'll have a date with this girl.
That's correct. Yeah. And I don't have to come back again. So the second week, I'm like, wow, competition is getting easier. Like, that's kind of fun. Then third week, it was getting easier. Then the fourth week, we're like, oh, they threw a harder combination at me. And I'm like, that's not fun. I'm like, okay. But the very next day, I came back. The same combination was easier. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll try after another month. I set myself up again. So I went in. I was having too much fun.
Right.
So it goes up and down. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting, and I kind of like it. And plus, if I sign up for another month, she will give me her phone number. Like, okay. So I did.
Women, the power we have, I'm telling you.
I tell you. And so I did sign up for another month, and I got better at it. And I came back and auditioned for Montclair State University, the dance department.
Okay.
And I became a dance minor. I'm like, ha, now give me your phone number. Right.
Woman, what you put me through.
But sadly, it wasn't to be because she was a senior. I didn't even know she graduated before she actually saw me fully emerge into the dance department.
You know, it's. I'm sorry. I know that must have been heartbreaking for you, but I do think there's some poetry in this. You know, I mean, just some eloquence of somebody. It's almost like she led you into this program, which then became part of your life.
That's correct.
You know, like one of those people that shows up, has a certain role, and then leaves. But yet, whatever they gave you was invaluable.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I wish she had never seen me perform professionally. And then I ended up dancing for Palabolas, which was her dream dance company.
Oh, wow.
And but her husband wouldn't allow her to continue dancing. So she got married, have babies, and
it doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
But I'm having a lot of fun for her.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, so now you're carrying her dream in some way.
I'm carrying her dream in my dream, too.
Yep.
In a way. So I went and became a dance minor, and then it was so much fun, I switched my major.
Ooh, what'd your mom do?
I didn't tell my mom. She didn't know. So I switched.
Yeah, Mom, everything's going great.
Yeah. So I switched from business to dance. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell my mom until I graduated. So how I broke it down to her is this. I was doing Sweet Charity. I don't know if it's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I invited her to see the show with my brothers and my cousin and my aunt. And they all came to support. And then after the show, we all went out to dinner. And in the midst of our conversation, I asked her, "Hey, Mom, did you like the show?" She says, "Yes, you were great." I'm like, "Mom, did you really like the show?" She said, "Yes."
Oh, you set her up so bad.
She says, "You were great. You looked like you were having fun." I'm like, "Yeah, well, I was having so much fun."
Yeah.
And then she goes, "Well, so now you're graduating. So how's that going?" I'm like, "Oh, guess what, Mom? My major is not business. It's dance." You should see her face. Her jaw just dropped. Ugh. And then the next thing she said to me was, "What am I going to tell my friends?" When they asked me, "Your son went to college, what did he study?"
Actually, I think that's a lot more profound question than just our conversation is alluding to, because what I see early on with kids is that parents want something to say about their offspring that is socially acceptable. And sometimes it comes at the price of what the child would naturally, you know, in spirit, go out and do on their own.
Mm. So
but anyway, keep going.
I told her, "Tell him I'm an artist, Mom." She says, "I can't tell him you're a dancer. What is that?
Right, yeah.
You're a man and you're a dancer? What in the world is this?" I'm like, "Tell him I'm an artist, Mom." And we just left it as that. And she was sad. You could see she was sad. She didn't like the fact that I switched my major. I didn't tell her. I mean, it was easy for me to deceive her that way because... it was, my dad was in Haiti, and he never really came to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just my mom, my brothers, and my aunt. And she was working really hard to make sure that there's food in the house, the rent is paid, plus sending money back to her family in Haiti. So she didn't really have time to look to see if I did my homework.
Right.
Or, you know, and I was a good kid, and I did do my homework. And I worked really hard to make sure that my schoolwork. I mean, I was such a hard worker when it comes to school.
Yeah.
I would wake up on Sundays thinking it's Monday, and I would go to the bus stop. And
I don't think that's hard working. I think there's something like wired in your brain a little differently.
That's true.
Look, there's no one else here. Man, I must be early.
My brother, meanwhile, was like, he's sleeping. Mm-hmm. Sleeping. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get to school before my brother. So I used to secretly compete with him.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. He didn't know, but I was like, looking back, I'm like, oh, maybe.
Okay, so now you are at Duke, and I want to have a little bit of information about the show that you're doing right now.
the show that I'm doing right now, the name of the company is Gasparian Dancers. Mm-hmm. So let me just say briefly that my background, I spent 10 years with Palabolos, which is a world-renowned dance company. And there is a little bit of that in my choreography. I mean, spending 10 years in
you
one job,
yeah,
so you can't escape that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In particular, this piece that I'm choreographed for this show, this is the company's third annual performance, and it's growing. There's good feedback from audience who came to see the show. This piece was, it's called Souké. Souké is Creole, Haitian Creole for to shake. It is inspired by the earthquake that shook Haiti back in 2010.
Okay. We are, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to hear more about it. This is Kristen Heemstra with the Art of Potential Show. I'm trying to, I've got one show that runs in Raleigh that I want to get you on. Mm-hmm. I only have 3 segments with them, so I'm trying to figure out how not to. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say this show is Souké, and you can see it at the Durham.
Reynolds Theater?
Yeah. Or just give me something where people can look up your information.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do that, and then Anthony can splice that in, and then when we come back, I want to hear more about you and your mom. That was great.
Yeah, my mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, how can people find your show, and you just tell me.
Okay.
All right. So, Gaspard, how can people find your show?
Well, you can go onto my website at gaspardanddancers.org is one word, G-A-S-P-A-R-D, N-A-N-D, dancers, D-A-N-C-R. Or you can call the Duke Back's office at area code 919-684-4444.
Wonderful. And we'll have this information up on theartofpotential.com.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with the Art of Potential Show, and I'm talking with Gaspard Louis, and we have learned that he fooled his mother and made her think he was a business major when really he was a dance major. And then you went and you danced with one of the most prominent world-known dance companies. So how did that come to be?
Well, my mom was definitely happy when I ended up dancing with Palabolos. Yes, yeah. I got a job. I'm not that starving artist anymore.
Right.
I did go to a few auditions after I graduated from college, and I had a scholarship actually to study with Nicolaine Lewis in New York, and also another scholarship to study with Gus Giordano in Chicago. And I spent about a year in each place, and I came back to New York and auditioned for Palabolos. And I didn't have a clue whether or not I was going to make it to Palabolos because they had such a great reputation.
Right.
And they were top of the line. So, well, let me just go and make a fool out of myself.
Mm-hmm. You have nothing to lose. I mean, really, you do. And it's a risk you've got to take.
Yes. And
if you want to be a star like Bruce Lee.
Exactly. Exactly. So I went to the audition, and sure enough, there were about 200 guys at the audition, and they were looking for 2 spots.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And you know what? I'm not so sure that's a whole different story than the job market at times.
So,
but most of us don't have to sit there and watch each other.
So it was fun. I mean, I went there and looking at 2 guys, and a lot of them were really ballet trained people who came to the audition, and they were really, I mean, these guys were incredible dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And but unbeknownst to all of us, Palabolos was a different breed of dance company. And just because you could kick your forehead or you could do like 10 pirouettes and stop on a dime, that
you could kick your forehead. I'm sorry, I just stopped there. Ouch. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And that doesn't mean you can get make it into the company. It takes something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, when I auditioned, when I went to the audition, I actually was going on a tour with another smaller dance company called All Nations. So it was a military tour. It was a USO tour where we tour all over Europe or Asia, wherever there was a military base. We're performing
really?
For soldiers, yes.
Wow.
And so that was my first international tour with a company. We did Japan, Korea,
Okinawa. Yeah, now you
all
over
Italy and all over Europe. And that was quite an
experience. Did you learn about bases you didn't know about before?
Exactly.
I think you would. Oh, who knows?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And so normally Palabolos has a 3-day process to audition, and I only had 2 days.
And okay.
For sure, I knew that I just went for the experience. There's mm-hmm. no way they would allow me to be a part of the Palabolos world by not showing up all 3 days.
Right.
And I said, well, let me just go. You never know what's going to happen, at least.
Did you hear that? You have to go try.
Yes. Sorry. Never, because I learned from there, never turn yourself down. Let mm-hmm. them make that decision for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. That is true in all walks of life. Yeah. Yes.
So I day one, I went to the audition. So they cut us down to 100 people. So we came back the next day. And by midday, we were down to about 20 people. And I was still there. And I couldn't understand why. And I only had, that was would be my last day at the audition. And so they made us play with each other mm-hmm. to see how we can create. So they were looking at our creative
output. Ooh, impromptu output. Dancing?
Yes.
Did your Bruce Lee skills come in?
Absolutely.
I bet.
And so then we would stop, and then they would convert and have their own little gathering with the directors, that is. And then they'd talk about us, and then they would make us stand up, and then we would dance again. And then they would go back and have their little meeting and say, okay, I saw them keep pointing towards me. I was starting to get nervous. I'm like,
right,
okay.
Yeah. When's the axe coming?
Right. And they say, okay, Gaspar, come over here. I'm like, okay. And I put me in the middle center stage and then said, take your top off. That's Palabolos.
Okay. Well, here we go.
And I said, okay. I took my top off and then they're looking at, you know,
your physique,
yes. Basically. So, because Palabolos, if you know anybody who knows Palabolos, the physique is essential.
Okay.
And so they pair me up with two or three other members of the Palabolos.
Were you self-conscious at all? I just can't imagine not being self-conscious in that moment.
I didn't have anything to lose.
No, you're absolutely right. You got to put it all out there. Forget the risk. You're going for the reward.
Because at this point, granted, I think with the exception of myself, mm-hmm. I think everybody else who came to the audition, they knew about Palabolos.
Okay.
Except for me.
Oh, so your ignorance was your key to success. Now, I would never recommend that for anybody else. No. You should really know who you're auditioning.
Exactly. Exactly. So it is highly recommended you do your homework. And for me, knowing that I wasn't good enough, that one thing, and mm-hmm. plus I only had 2 days to the audition, so I was just going for the experience of being at an audition for a major dance company. So, so we were down at that point to about 10 dancers. And then we took a little break. The dancers sort of kind of gathered to themselves, and we had a meeting, and we were talking. I'm like, who do you think is going to be sent home now? And I'm like, I think they're probably going to get rid of me now because I can't come tomorrow to the final day of auditions. He goes, nah, I think they like you guys. I'm like, nah, no way. Yeah, they kept looking at you. I'm like, that means they want to get rid of me. But, you know, I was pretty innocent at that time, and I didn't realize that maybe if they keep looking at
that's
you,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. So they called me and said, okay, can you come back tomorrow? I say, sorry, I can't. And I'm like, okay, this is it. They say, okay, you can go ahead. And then I went back to the rest of the dancers, and then they went back to talk among themselves, and they were making decisions. I'm like, okay, for sure, I knew that I was done. And then they came back and said, okay, now, why can't you come? I said, because I've already been given my word to another company that I would be traveling to Europe with them. And they said, how long? It's going to be a 2-month long tour. And they said, well, what if you cut it short and go just half of the tour? I said, well, I can't do that because you have to get your passport cleared with the U.S. military first, and that takes about 6 months. We only have a few hours to go. And I couldn't do that. And if I was dancing for you,
right,
I wouldn't just leave you in a lurch like this.
Right.
I would want to finish my contract with you. Mm-hmm. And then I think they like what I said.
I think so, yeah, too.
And then they said to me,
you have personal integrity. Wow.
Yes, yeah. And that was really, that's something that they really look for in a dancer as well. And they said, what if we pay you to come back early? I'm like, well, I still couldn't do it. I just couldn't leave them in a lurch like this because they would have to get somebody to train the person, get the green light from the U.S. Department. And it's just too much. I don't want to get them. I don't want to make anybody go through that kind of process. And it's not fun. They said, okay, you can go home now. And then
put their noses in there.
Yeah. And I took the train home to New Jersey. And by the time I got home, there was a message in my answering machine saying, come on back, we want you.
Oh, how terrific.
Yes, and I came right back. I didn't even put my book bag down. Nope. I just went back to New York. Yeah, the audition was at the Joyce in Manhattan. And I just took the train back to Manhattan again and watched Volables for the first time in my life. And they said, well, we like you. We're going to wait for you to come back. And we're going to go ahead and with the final audition for the next two people that we're going to hire. But we know we like you and you have a job.
That's terrific.
We'll wait for you till you come back.
I love that.
Yes.
All right. We actually only have a few minutes left because this has been so much fun. But I really want you to tell people about what you're doing now because it's very powerful.
Okay.
Tell us what you're doing now.
What I'm doing now is, now that I stopped dancing full-time with Palabolos, I started my own dance company, and I moved to Durham from Manhattan. Moved here with...
Very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's fun. It's nice. I mean, coming from a 500-square-feet apartment in Manhattan to 3,000 square feet of a home here.
Yeah, a big difference. I get that. I do.
A tiny difference. Small, very small. And it's so much, with two kids, so it's to my little 10-month-old is all over the place, crawling all over the place. And my 4-year-old, Dahlia, is now 4 going on 18, and she's something else. So I am now teaching creative movement to kids in Durham area, mostly to kids who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to take dance class. And so I work for the ADF Community Outreach Program, and I also have my own dance company, which is Gasparian Dancers, and the big performance, which I want everybody to come out and support this premier dance company in North Carolina, modern dance company, I should say, which is going to be March 13th and 15th at Duke University Reynolds Industries Theater.
Wonderful. Yeah. All right. I will have information about this up on the Art of Potential website. And you can find more about his performances and what's coming up there. And we'll link you back. And your website, again, is GasparianDancers.org.
Correct.
All right. Thank you for listening. This has been the Art of Potential Show.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks.